This is Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, April 1, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Whether you're meeting someone for an online marketplace transaction or handling a child custody exchange, the Kent County Sheriff's Office is offering safe locations for these interactions. WGVU's Dee Morrison has more.
They're called Safe Exchange Zones, designated spaces marked with signage at the Kent County Sheriff's Department main office and north and south substations.
All three locations have cameras pointed right at that sign.
That's Public Information Sergeant Scott Dietrich.
So if you were to meet up with someone in that area and something were to go wrong, we would have that all video recorded. And if you were to call 911, depending on hours, we would actually be able to have someone log into that video and live stream and see what's going on there while we're on their way to help.
The department has always encouraged meetings at safe locations, but having a designated monitored site takes safety one step further.
We have had one incident last year that comes to my mind where an online sale ended up in a homicide in Alpine Township. So if this is an easy, simple way to prevent that, to let people come here, whether they want to come inside our lobby or just meet outside at that sign, they are very welcome to do so.
The safe exchange zones complement the department's real-time intelligence center, connecting county police agency monitoring systems with participating commercial and residential cameras for improved emergency response. I'm Dee Morrison.
According to a recent NBC News poll, more than 60% of registered voters question the value of a college degree. But as WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, a local economics professor says a college degree is more important than ever, especially in the age of artificial intelligence.
We are generating talent for Michigan, which is allowing Michigan to grow faster than it would have if we weren't here. And we're generating more income for our students so that they can be self-sufficient and move forward and have better life than when they started here.
During a recent forum, Grand Valley State University economics professor Dr. Paul Isley explained how many students are questioning the value of a college degree because they assume their jobs will eventually be replaced by AI.
Why am I taking this? I'm going to be an engineer. The reason you're taking it is you're AI-proofing your job. But if you don't have the skill sets necessary to navigate how things are changing, you will be on the bad side of that equation.
Dr. Isley says universities need to teach their students that while AI can do certain jobs, it's still just a tool and one that should be studied.
AI doesn't add a lot to the capabilities of an experienced worker. So, like, why are these experienced workers not using AI? Because I can do it faster without using AI? Being creative, being curious can't be replaced.
I'm David Limbaugh.
Since 2022, Grand Rapids police officers have fired guns at citizens a dozen times. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports four suspects were killed, one shot himself, three were wounded, and survived.
No officer wants to be involved in officer-involved shooting. It's a traumatic event.
Acting Police Chief Joe Trigg says the use of deadly force is a last resort in the Grand Rapids Police Department.
Only to be used when absolutely necessary, when no other options seem available.
City Manager Mark Washington asked Chief Trigg to explain to the City Commission why officers used deadly force when they did.
Help us understand the circumstances, the reasons why deadly use of force was used.
In his summary, the chief did not include the death of Daquan Johnson in February because that is still under investigation. But he did explain 10 other officer-involved shootings.
Each of the subjects involved presented a weapon. Five subjects shot at officers, three subjects raised firearms towards the officers, and two charged at officers with bladed weapons.
In the 10 incidents, two people were killed by police, one committed suicide, three were wounded and survived. Commissioner Kelsey Perdue says officers provide first aid.
In every instance, rendered aid to that person to save their life.
In all the shootings, the county prosecutor ruled officers fired in self-defense.
My commendations for those officers who acted with bravery within the law.
I'm Phil Dawson.
A $1 million state grant is kickstarting the F3 project in Grand Rapids. As WGVU's Dee Morrison tells us, it addresses housing shortages and stimulates economic growth.
The F3 project within the Boston Square Together development is a four-story mixed-use building covering more than an acre. The site will feature 45 new apartment units, commercial and public spaces. The project has received a $1.3 million Revitalization and Placemaking, or RAP, grant, which focuses on gap funding to clear financial hurdles in urban revitalization. The building is part of the Boston Square Together project, a redevelopment of 10 acres in the neighborhood, increasing housing, providing commercial space for entrepreneurs, and community amenities. The City of Grand Rapids is contributing a $400,000 grant as well toward the $25 million project. The development is a collaboration between Amplify GR, Brinshore Development, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. I'm Dee Morrison.
Another Grand Rapids Public Schools administrator has been placed on administrative leave. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us it's the second administrator removed from their job in less than a month.
According to a letter sent to Grand Rapids Public School staff, Bridget Cheney, the chief area instructional leader for the city's southeast quadrant, will remain on paid administrative leave through the end of the current school year. The letter, written by Superintendent Dr. Ledrian Roby, stated the district was committed to transparency, but, quote, because this is a personnel matter, the district cannot comment further on the circumstances surrounding the leave, end quote. Last month, Deputy Superintendent of Preschool through 12 Learning and Leadership, Brandy Lovelady Mitchell, was placed on leave and is not expected to return to work this year. GRPS officials did not comment on why she was placed on leave, again citing personnel matters. GRPS's district ombudsperson, Malika Brown, will take over Cheney's responsibilities. Roby stated, quote, we are grateful to have a dedicated and experienced leader ready to step in and provide stable guidance for our schools, end quote. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, another edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, but first, news from around the state. The Michigan Supreme Court will hear arguments over whether it should take up an appeal in a lawsuit between the State Senate and House of Representatives. Colin Jackson has more.
The lawsuit is over nine bills that passed both the House and Senate in the last legislative session, but didn't physically make it to the governor's desk before the term ended. The Senate sued the House for refusing to deliver them in the early days of the current term. A trial court judge found the bills should have gone to the governor, but refused to command the House to send them, citing concerns over the separation of powers. Appellate judges then took it a step further, writing that the House should be ordered to send the bills onward. May's arguments before the Supreme Court will help justices decide whether they want to take up the case. The Republican House is praising the scheduling update. The Democratic Senate says it's looking forward to arguing before the High Court. I'm Colin Jackson.
Michigan is one of more than 20 states with conversion therapy bans, similar to the one that was struck down on Tuesday by a U.S. Supreme Court decision. Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed the law 3 years ago. It forbids professional counseling that seeks to change the sexual orientation or gender identity of minors. That law has been on hold since a December ruling by the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. In that case, Catholic Charities of Jackson, Lawanee, and Hillsdale counties filed a free speech legal challenge. Democratic Representative Jason Hoskins sponsored the law. He says the Supreme Court decision does not make conversion therapy an accepted medical practice.
This is still malpractice. It's consumer fraud. Literally, to call it conversion therapy when it's not really therapy in the eyes of every major medical organization, it's still something that we can fight against. But it's just disheartening to see this ruling come through.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Attorney General Dana Nessel say they're considering what the next steps might be ahead of the state's next appearance before a federal judge. A nurses' strike near Flint has been going on for 7 months with no end in sight. Unionized nurses at Henry Ford Genesee's Hospital walked off the job on Labor Day last year. The contract dispute involves several issues, including nurse-to-patient ratios and benefits. Teamsters National General President Sean O'Brien on Tuesday blamed Henry Ford Health for the lack of progress.
I think one thing's clear. This hospital has a chronic disease called diabetes, and they need some Trutzelin, all right?
A spokesperson for the health system accused the Teamsters Union of using this local strike to push a, quote, agenda. They say many nurses have already returned to work after the hospital offered pay increases and other financial incentives. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. This afternoon, in our Crane's Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Crane staff writer Mark Sanchez about the start of construction on Grand Rapids River Restoration Project. West Michigan hospital systems are the largest employers, and we begin with the financial impact the war with Iran is having on area businesses.
And not just local. I would imagine corporations, large and small, out across the country are feeling the effects of the higher gas prices. And that, of course, is what we as consumers feel immediately and see the most, is those gasoline prices going up, the cost to fill up our vehicles. But also for businesses that have a fleet of delivery vans or trucks on the road delivering products, diesel fuel has been spiking as well. So this came out of an earnings call last week. MillerKnoll Inc. over there in Holland reported its most recent quarter sales and earnings. And in that conference call with the brokerage analyst, laid out that the higher fuel costs, the higher logistics costs, the disruption in shipments to the Middle East, that's going to add about an $8 to $9 million cost in the current quarter that MillerKnoll is going through. And I would suspect here in the coming weeks, months, especially here this month, as corporations begin reporting their first quarter sales and earnings, you're going to see executives beginning to talk a little bit about this. This is one of the consequences, and the cost of war, especially in this particular region and this conflict. It's affected fuel prices. It's affected oil prices. We see predictions of oil perhaps this summer going as high as $200 a barrel. That's all going to trickle through the economy. And for businesses, this is going to have higher costs for their logistics, for their fleet of delivery vehicles, and you could see some disruption in their orders if they're doing business in that region.
So if you break this down, a threefold issue, and we're using MillerKnoll as the example here based on that conference call. So there's transportation costs. There is a materials cost when it comes to oil-based materials. And then you have the business exposure itself in the Middle East. How much business does MillerKnoll do in Middle Eastern countries?
It doesn't break down that exactly how much that region is accounting for the book of business, but it did say that there's going to be minimal shipments to the Middle East in the present quarter for MillerKnoll. And also, I should add, when we talk about the costs, it's not just the fuel costs, it's the commodity costs, you know, all those things you see in the office. There's a lot of plastics there. So Andy Owen, the CEO, is talking about how these higher oil costs affect the costs of those petroleum-based materials, foam, plastics that go into a lot of the products that these furniture companies here in West Michigan make. It all adds up. And again, MillerKnoll's looking at about an $8 to $9 million hit here in this quarter from these higher costs.
Do they pass it along or do they eat some of this? What's the strategy? What do you think happens here?
The way the executives explained it is it's kind of an evolving strategy. They're going to monitor the situation closely. They will at some point, if it goes too far, consider surcharges. Remember, a year ago, a lot of companies implemented surcharges because of tariffs. And so those costs were a pass-through. And it sounds like a very similar approach where they monitor it, keep a close eye on it. And at some point, there's a threshold where we cannot absorb these costs any longer. And we need to start putting this into pricing, or as we saw a year ago with tariffs, a lot of companies implementing surcharges.
A little closer to home, the Grand River, we're seeing some movement. $11 million have been allocated from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and that unlocks the project. And we will begin to see machinery in the area beginning to move the Grand River Revitalization Project forward after how many decades?
Yeah, this goes back a long time. This has been talked about, this concept of restore the rapids in Grand Rapids, and it's finally coming to fruition. And this is a story my coworker Kate Carlson did for Crane's Grand Rapids business last week. It's an $11 million grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture to the city and Grand Rapids Whitewater, and it's going to fund the river restoration project that's been kind of a decades-long effort, and the funding will really kick off the project's first phase, which is about a $14.5 million project. At least that's the contract that was approved, that the city commissioner recently approved with Toplin Group LLC to remove the dams and install natural rock structures to improve the river flow, public access, and the aquatic habitat in the river. So the construction's going to take about 2 years, and it'll restore the lower reaches through downtown, which is about I-196 south to Fulton Street. As you said, Patrick, it's finally happening. This has been talked about for a long time, and well, it's been gaining traction for a long time, but you're going to start seeing some work out there in the river real soon.
The timing couldn't be better. When you see these major projects, the amphitheater, the stadium, Grand Rapids Public Museum, you're seeing the River Greenway project also tying in at really just the optimal time for all of this to come together.
Yeah, it really shows us that so much is interconnected. It's, of course, all these are separate projects, but they all really do flow together and work together in a great, quite well. So in a few years, Riverfront's going to be a little different than what we've known for a long time. And that restoring the rapids, plus with the amphitheater coming online and the soccer stadium next year and then the walk, it's all going to create a whole new waterfront here in downtown Grand Rapids.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez. You've introduced some research data, has to do with West Michigan employers and who is leading the way.
like a lot of B2B publications, business-to-business publications, we do these lists on a regular basis each week, each edition. And this particular one coming up is West Michigan's largest employers. And sure enough, topping those lists are health systems. We've got three health systems right at the top: Corewell Health, Trinity Health Michigan, and then Beacon Healthcare down in Kalamazoo, which is out of South Bend and acquired the former Borges operations in Kalamazoo last year. And it really illustrates what healthcare has become, which is a real economic engine and economic powerhouse in the economy out here in West Michigan. Those three health systems that top the list of the top 25 largest employers in West Michigan. They employ more than 40,000 folks, and last year they added 2,000 workers. And it's not just the health systems. A couple of companies here in West Michigan that are well known, Stryker and Perrigo, also employ thousands of people. They're in the healthcare sector, and they're on the top of those lists too, in the top 25. So it really goes to what a big part of the economy that healthcare has become here in West Michigan. It's only going to get larger. In fact, in the Grand Valley State University's Health Check report this year, it showed that healthcare as a percentage of the overall workforce in Grand Rapids grew from about 7.5% to about 10.5% from 2005 to 2024. That's some pretty solid growth. About one in every 10 residents in the four counties around Grand Rapids, they're working for a Grand Rapids-based healthcare provider. So this sector has really come up as the population ages, as we want more care. We're all getting older. We're not using less care. We're using more. Watch this sector as it grows. And of course, we all know what's going on with the cost of healthcare. And that's kind of how do you provide, if you're a healthcare provider, provide that higher level, that more care, but yet how do we control those expenditures so it's not so expensive anymore? But bottom line right now, we're seeing the three health systems top our list of the top 25 employers in West Michigan.
And that Health Check report shows that Grand Rapids is outpacing the national average.
Yeah, it is. It outpaces the national average for job growth and has been for a little while. So again, that's just an indication of what's going on with this sector. Between 2005 and 2024, healthcare practitioners and technical workers, you know, jobs there increased 110% over that 20-year period. Nationally, that was about a 46.5% increase. Grand Rapids has been growing jobs in this sector at more than double the rate of the national average.
And we also see the expansion. Corewell Health has a proposal on the table to expand up on the hill.
Yeah, there's a big project planned by Corewell Health. We wrote about this back in January. During the new patient tower there on the Butterworth campus, that's about a 621,000 square foot project. And just to give you a comparison, that's larger than the DeVos Children's Hospital and the Meyer Heart Center there on that campus. So it's going to be a big, iconic tower that we're going to see there on that campus in a few years.
Crane's Grand Rapids Business staff writer, Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, April 1, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.